All right, Rabbi Say, good morning. Let's begin. A lot to do today. An incredible and exciting daf as well. Rabbi Say, today's daf is Yud Gimel. Yud Dalet. We are picking up on Yud Gimel on the days at the Mishnah. So we have a lot to do today. We thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Cheshvan, Adam and Yudit Ben Zev, for dedicating all the Shurim and Drushos of this month in memory of Adam, in memory of Adam's grandfather, and in honor of Adam's grandmother and parents for serving as such incredible role models. May they be blessed with Arichos Yamim Vishanim. We thank the Ben Zevs very much for their generosity and dedication. And also with that, let's begin. Mishnah. Ha-chareshes v'ha-shota v'ha-suma v'shnitcher v'daita. We'll say a very interesting case. We're talking now, remember again, the topic of this parak is called Hayad Hamarbeh. Kaliyad Hamarbeh Livdok Benoshim Mishubachos. We're talking about bedigos. We got a little bit, not derailed, but a little bit sidetracked yesterday because we were talking about male bedigos. But the topic over here is really going to be the bedigos that a woman does. Legabe hilchos nida. So the Mishnah raises a very interesting case. What happens if you have a woman who's a chareshes? So we'll say chareshes normally means deaf mute. Shota, insane. Suma, blind. Nitra fadaita means insane. We'll see the difference in these cases in just a little bit. So we'll say, what's the halacha? Im yishlan pikchos, if there are, quote-unquote, normal women. Pikchos means normal. Normal women, fully functioning women, who are able to help her out. Metaknos oso. So we'll say, metaknos oso literally means they help her to perform her bedikos. They help her to perform her bedikos. Vehein ochlos betruma. So we'll say, so remember again, the ramification over here is twofold. It could be vis-a-vis Taras HaMishpacha for marriage, although some of these women listed over here would not have the das to enter into marriage. But more simply, let's say these women are part of a Kohanic family, in which case they are entitled to consume truma. You can't eat truma if you're a nida. So what happens? We go ahead and essentially we establish women who are quote-unquote normal, typical functioning women, to help out these disabled women with their bedikos in order to be able to eat truma. Says the Gemara, I don't see in these cases. Chareshes as deaf mute, I tivdok l'nafsha. Why does a deaf mute woman need help with her bedikos? Right, let her do her own bedikos. Disanya, Amar Rabbi Chareshes haisa bishchuno senu. So the Rebbe says there was once a woman who was a chareshes in our neighborhood. Lo dayer shebodekes liatzma. We'll say this is incredible. Not only did she do her own bedikos, but what? She was an expert. So her friends used to bring her bedikos in order to look at them. To which the Gemara says, let's define our terms. Hosam b'midaberes ve'ino shomas. Hacha b'she'ino midaberes ve'ino shomas. So we'll say the case in the Brisa over here in the neighborhood of Rebbe was a chareshes who was able to speak, but unable to hear, which I will say, bepashtos in the times of the Gemara means what? She had her hearing at one point in time and subsequently lost her hearing, which means she is a balas das. So because she is a balas das, she's capable then of taking care of her own bedikos. The Mishnah's case is eino medaberes ve'eino shomas. She doesn't speak and she never heard. So I will say, so remember again, and this is... excuse me. This is reflective of Chazal's time. There's an incredible amount of halachic literature, contemporary halachic literature, about the status of a chirish in today's day and age. And when I say today, it's not, I don't mean today, it's already going back a couple of decades, right? But the idea being, from Chazal's perspective, if a woman was a chareshes, she did not have das. She did not have das. If she didn't have das, then ultimately, again, she cannot be trusted by herself for her own bedikos. So the case over here in the Mishnah is that eino shoma'as ve'eino medaber. She doesn't hear and she doesn't speak. Kidisnan, chere shedibru chachamim b'chomakom, eino shoma'a ve'eino medaber. So we'll say this chareshes, who therefore, again, according to Chazal, lacks das, halacha l'maisa requires a pikachas, what we'll call a normal, typical woman, to assist her with her bedikos. Next, suma. Blind woman. Why does a blind woman need help? Ihi tivdok l'nafsha. Let her check herself. And what? V'techse the chaverta. She'll show it to her friend. In other words, the disability of the chareshes is an ocular one. She can't see. But she could do the bedika. Let her do the bedika. Show it to her friend. Take out Suma from the list. Suma does not belong in our Mishnah. Next, Shenitchafa Daita. So I'll say Nitchafa Daita literally means she went insane. Hainu Shota. That's the same thing as a Shota. Shenitchafa Daita Machmas Choli. Ultimately, what's the case? The case, I'll say, so interestingly enough, Shota normally seems to usually refer to someone who is some type of psychological disorder that may be inherent, that may be biological to the person. Nitchafa Daita, the Gemara understands, is a result of some type of illness. Okay, just different types of women. Same idea. They lack das, and because of that, again, require the assistance of the bikachos of the typical normal woman to assist with the bedikas. So we'll say, here we go. Tam Rabbanan. So we'll say, now that we spoke about these concepts for women, the Gemara is going to speak about a similar concept for men. Tam Rabbanan, Kohen Shota. We'll say an interesting case. What happens if you have a Kohen who is a Shota? Right? You're supposed to remember again, Shota is not like a... not like a derogatory, he's insane. Shota is a halachic classification. The Gemara says, what is the definition of someone who is insane? So the Gemara defines it ultimately through erratic behaviors. So the Gemara says, for example, someone who is korea begadav, someone who tears his clothing, just tears his clothing for no reason. Or lan beveis hakvaras, someone who goes ahead and sleeps in the cemetery. So it's actually amazing. The definition of a shota, of someone who does not have das, is someone who does irrational things, which is a pretty scary definition, right? Because it would seem to cover a wide swath of people, right? But the idea, in a halachic sense, it's someone who engages in a repeated pattern of just irrational and illogical behavior. So we'll say, what happens if you have a kohen who is a shota? So what do? So we'll say now, we want him to be able to go ahead and eat truma. The problem is, in order to eat truma, what has to happen? You have to be tahor. So what do? Matpilin oso. We take him to the mikvah. We immerse him in the mikvah. Umachilin oso truma la'erif. Right? And we go ahead... and we go ahead and we allow him to eat truma. So we'll say, we wait till the evening, because maybe he's a balkari. So we wait till the evening, goes to the mikvah, head of shemesh, good to go. Umishamer noso, shelo yashin. But we make sure that he doesn't fall asleep. So in other words, we're both saying that the window of his truma consumption only applies while he's awake. Because if he falls asleep, what are we concerned about? A seminal emission, becoming a balkari. Yashin, tame. If he falls asleep, we assume that he's tame. Lo yashin tar. But as long as he stays awake, in other words, as long as we get him to the mikvah, sundown, and he's awake, he can eat as much shroom as he wants. Once he goes to sleep, we would have to repeat that same process again. But Rabbi Tzadik says, Osin lo kis shel ar. So I'll say, Rabbi Tzadik says, that we make from like an additional garment, right, a little leather pouch that goes over the makom erva, to be able to see, and that way again, to see if he had any kind of seminal emission. Amrubo, so we'll say, so again, is actually interesting because we'll get into this. Sugya, the Gemara says, leather itself could become warm. That goes back to yesterday's discussion that could cause arousal. And the arousal itself ultimately, again, could go ahead and make him a balkari. Amar lahem, ledivreichem, shota ein lo takana. So Rabbi Loza says to them, well, according to you then, there's no way for a kohen shota ti truma. They said, no, amar lo dvarenu. Yashin tamei lo yashin tar. We already told you how to do it. Take him to the mikvah, wait till sundown, and again, as long as he's awake, he could eat truma. It's just that he can't go to sleep. Lidvarecha, shema yira tipa kechardal, v'tivla b'kis. We'll say there's two problems with the leather pouch. Number one, is that it in and of itself could cause arousal and a seminal emission. And number two, even if there is an emission, at the end of the day, that emission could get absorbed in the leather itself. And therefore, again, you won't even be able to see if anything happened. Okay, so we'll say another accessory over here. The Gemara says, they made him a kiss. They made him some type of garment out of metal, right? So the idea over here would be they would put that over Osam Makam, and then what would happen? If there would be a type of seminal emission, it's obviously that wouldn't get absorbed in the metal. Amar Abai Vishan the Choshes. Abai says it was copper, not the metal. Ki Desanya, Rabbi Huda Omer, Rowan Oso give Ulin Shal Ezov Kiluhein Shal the Choshes. So people say, this is a din by Para Aduma, which actually references back to one of the halachas that we spoke about last week's daf, which was that halacha lemaisa, in order for the para aduma to be proper, there has to be a certain amount of water. The way we measure the amount of water is as if the azob, as if the hyssop, which is put into the water and then sprinkled on the person who is tamei, is made of copper, and therefore there's no absorption. In other words, that when taking into account the amount of water we need, we do not take into account hyssop absorption. Instead, we assume that the hyssop is made of copper and therefore doesn't absorb. The only reason the Gemara is bringing this down is to show us that what? Yeah. Copper doesn't absorb. Therefore, for the Kohen Shota, the best thing you could do is fashion him some type of kiss made out of nechoshes. That way, if he has a seminal emission, you'll be able to see it and it won't get absorbed. Fine. So we'll say, Rapapa. So we'll say, Rapapa says something amazing. Shmamina, you see from here something very interesting, which is Michnasayim Asurim. So we'll say, what do you see from here? That Michnasayim, that we normally translate, pants are Asur. So we'll say, okay, sounds like an interesting Gemara, right? We'll say, what it means is, what it's really referring over here is to underwear. So we'll say, what the Gemara said is as follows. The Gemara had a problem over here with giving the Kohen Shota a leather pouch. What was it concerned about? That the leather itself would rub against the Aver, cause ultimately again arousal, and could lead to a seminal emission. The Gemara says, you see from here that what? That it could be that tighter fitting underwear could be problematic, because ultimately, again, the material rubs against the individual, causing arousal, potentially resulting in seminal emission. To which the Gemara says, but 1 second. V'haksev v'asa michnesei bad, l'chasos basar erva. But the kohanim, right? One of the big day kahuna were michnasayim. Right, michnesei bad rabosei does not mean pants, right? But rather, again, it means like an undergarment. To which the Gemara says, the Gemara says, kedisanyo michnesei kohan lemahim dom. So this is very interesting. So what did the Kohanic undergarments? What did they look like? Kamin pamlanya shal prashim. It looked like the pamlanya of prashim. Very helpful. Right? So look at the Gemara says. So the Gemara, look at pamlanya sinar. So it looked like, it really seems the second lashon of Rashi is the primary one. It looked like the type of undergarments, the type of underwear worn by those who ride horses. So we'll say, as we're going to see essentially, to put it in blunt contemporary terms, they were very loose boxers with drawstrings. So both says there was no elastic, obviously, but again, it was a drawstring, loose-fitting undergarment. That is apparently what the people who used to wear ride horses would wear. So the Gemara says, so what was the description of it? Lemala ad masnayim, it would go up until the waist. Lemata ad yirechayim, ultimately, again, it would go literally on the bottom until the thighs. Ve'ishlem shenatzim, and it had drawstrings. Ve'ein lahem lo beis haneke ve'lo beis ha'erva. And Abba said, it didn't have a beis haneke. Beis haneke means sometimes undergarments would have like an opening in the back. So if a person had to defecate, they wouldn't have to pull everything down, but it would have just an opening in the back. This did not have an opening in the back, nor did it have ve'lo beis ha'erva. Nor did it have a pouch for the aver in the front. So I'll say, ultimately, again, this was the undergarments, ultimately, again, of the Kohanim. Right, knickers, right? So I'll say, so I'll just tell you, we don't have time for it today, but it's actually quite fascinating because this could have, what do you do with this Gemara for today? Does this mean that a person could only wear undergarments that are loose fitting, right? What about tighter fitting undergarments? So the Otzer HaPoskim is amazing. Otzer HaPoskim has a whole discussion about this. This is in Evan HaEzer, Simen Chav Gimel Sif Vav, where this is brought down by the Ramo. So the Pesachei Tshuva and others quote opinions who ultimately say that this was Dafka Adin in Truma. That this was Dafka Adin in Avoda, Adin in Truma. After all, again, the topic over here is Truma consumption by Kohen Shota, right? The Michnesei Bad is by the Kohanim. So some explain that this obligation to wear like the loose fitting, what was the word? Knickers or breeches, right? That was a din dafka by Kohanim, dafka by Avoda, dafka by Truma. But ultimately, again, outside of that context, it may not apply. Again, we'll put it on the list of Dafyomi Sugyas that we have to come back to Amir Tzasha. All right, Rav Moshe. So says the Gemara. Amar Abaye. Abaye says, Rav Moshe, now that we're on this topic a little bit, top of Yodalid, Rochvei Gimala Masurim Lechobot Shuma. Rav Moshe, those who ride camels are not permitted to eat chuma. Now, both say, now that's not a shtach against camels, but rather, again, what the Gemara is saying over here, look at Rashi, that sometimes, ultimately, again, just by riding the camel itself, a person becomes aroused, has an emission, and therefore can't eat chuma. Those who ride camels, pretty strong, kulam rishayim, right? Camel riders are all rishayim. I will say now, the idea behind it is because, I guess, just the act of riding the camel in and of itself leads to otsas zara lebatala. This is incredible. Hasapanim, all sailors, kulam tzadikim. All sailors are tzadikim. I will say now, this is incredible. Now, why is that? Rashi says, listen to this. Kulam tzadikim, shedarim bisakana, because sailors are always in sakana. V'libam la'avim shabashalayim. And they will say, and therefore, again, they're very pious. They might curse a lot, also, right? But ultimately, again, right? But Allah Alamaisa, they're very, very, very religious. We'll say, by the way, where do we see this? The in Yonah, right? Remember again, I will say, this is the dramatic piece in the story of Yonah. When the boat is about to capsize, the sailors are praying. Now, granted, they're praying to every god out there, but Lamaisa, again, it's an incredible testament to their spirituality. People who live on the high seas have to rely a lot. They're very pious, again, in their own way, but very religious. Kulam tzadikim. Hachamarim. What about those who drive donkeys, who ride donkeys? Mehen usha, mehen tzadikim. Some of them are righteous, some of them are wicked. Ikeda, so we'll say, who's who? Ikeda amri had the make of had the lo make of. So we'll say, everyone says it depends. Those who use a saddle, and therefore, again, we'll say, because they're not sitting directly on the donkey, the warmth of the donkey doesn't stimulate them. Therefore, again, they're tzadikim. Had the lo make of. But if you don't use a saddle, that ultimately, again, you get into the camel problem and can lead to some emission. Those are the Rishon. Vikadamri, ha dimitartin, ha delomitartin. Others here will say that those who go ahead, and it depends how you ride the donkey. If you ride donkey, what is it called? Like side saddle. Is that right? Where so you don't, let me say it differently. If you straddle the donkey, those are the Rishon. Because ultimately, again, that can lead to otsa zara levatala. If you ride like side saddle, ultimately, again, those are the tzaddikim. Rabbi Shuban Levi, layit aman de ganiya prakis. So I'll say another incredible sugya. Rabbi Shuban Levi cursed anyone who slept a prakid or a parkid. Rashi says, what does that refer to? Panav lemala. You are not allowed to sleep on your back. So we'll say, now, the Lashon over here is layit, he cursed. So we'll say, which sounds like it's asr, but it's not like a declarative statement of Chazal. Now, the Shulchan Aruch happens to codify this as well, halacha l'maisa, that one is not supposed to sleep on their back. Why not? Rashi says, shepam sheyiska she'ivar tok shenaso, v'yiskalgel. But it's like sometimes it can lead to a person's just humiliation, because sometimes a person becomes aroused over the course of the night, and if you're sleeping on your back, that arousal becomes noticeable to others as well. Va'od sheyadav munachos lo alivara umischamim. And we'll say sometimes if someone is sleeping on their back, so it could be that the natural placement of their hands is by the aver, which could ultimately lead to otsas zara levatala. So Rabbi Shimon Levi therefore says one should not sleep on their back. Now, we'll say, now what I want to point out to you is if you just look to the left at Tosis, so Tosis quotes, it's the same thing, Aparakid, so in the middle of Tosis quotes the Lashon of the Aruch. The Aruch says, Tosis disagrees with the Aruch, but I just want to point out to you that the Sheet exists. The Aruch says, the Perish Panav Mata. The Aruch says, Aparakid means you can't sleep on your stomach. Same idea. His concern with sleeping on your stomach is that it could lead to arousal, which then goes ahead and leads to otsas zara levatala. But amazingly, I will say, so exact opposite opinions. Rashi telling us that aprakim means on your back. Tosa says on your stomach, which leads the halacha to say, sleep on your side, right? So I'll say, so again, I'm just pointing out that this halacha does exist. A person says that some people can only fall asleep on their back. Some people can only fall asleep on their stomach. Okay. But again, just a halacha to be conscious of. So the Gemara says, Ini, is this so that you're not allowed to sleep on your back? V'amar Rav Yosef, prakton lo yikra kriyashma. But say, if the halacha says that what? But say, we're going to this by brachas. So is this in brachas? Yud Gimel Amud Beis. We'll say just probably what? Maybe 63 days, something like that. the Aguda sends out about 15 emails a day, right? With all the days. Good. So let's see. Praktan lo yikra krishna. So what's if you're laying on your back, if you're laying on your back, so you should not say Shema. So we'll say, Kriya Shema hu dulo gikra, ha migna shapir dami. So we'll say, what it sounds like is you can't say Shema, but you can sleep on your back. To which the Gemara says, here we go. Le'yin migna, we'll say, when it comes to sleeping, ki masli shapir dami. So we'll say, when it comes to sleeping, all you really need to do is what? Shift a little bit to your side. The idea over here is that one should not sleep on their back, but all one needs to do is shift just a little bit to the side. Le'yin kriya Shema, when it comes to Shema, ki matzli aser. Leaning to your side a little bit is not enough. You either have to be up or totally on your side. But Rabbi Yochanan would move to his side a little bit and recite Shema. Shani Rabbi Yochanan debal baser haya. So friends, Rabbi Yochanan was very heavy. And therefore, again, for him to move at all was a big avoda. So for him, moving to his side a little bit was enough for kriyashma. So Rabbi say, so therefore, again, what we come out over here is that halacha, the Gemara, and the Shulchan Aruch does quote this halacha, that ideally one should not sleep on their back. Mishnah Berurah also quotes on the stomach, just like the Aruch, if at all possible that one has the ability to move, to position to the side, certainly best. If one can fall asleep on these positions, one falls asleep and one falls asleep. Says the Mishnah. Derech benos yisra mishamashos b'shnei edim. So we'll say the derech of Jewish women is to have two bedikos when they have relations. And I both say, now what are the two bedikos? Echad lo vi echad lo. One for her and one for him. I both say, so literally, again, what this means is after Bia, we'll see Allah l'maisa what we do with these ideas. But one for her, one for him. That she checks herself after Bia, he checks himself after Bia. So the Gemara says, Vatznuos, and the especially modest or pious women, mitaknos shlishi letakin es habayis. They do a third bediga, and I will say, what's that third bediga? That's to go ahead and check herself prior to relations. So I will say, so meikir adin, the halacha is two. Well, the halacha as espoused by the Mishnah is two bedigos after bia. He checks himself. She checks herself. Vitznuos add in an additional bediga prior to bia. So we'll say, what's the halacha now? Let's analyze. Nimsa al shalo. Let's say he finds blood on his cloth. So tmeyin vechayav in karba. So we'll say, if he finds blood on his cloth, then halacha lemaisa, that's indicative that dam came from bia, which means again there was blood during relations. If there was blood during relations, then what? That ultimately it turns out that he had relations with a woman who's a nida vechayav in karba, and they're both obligated to bring a karba. Nimsa al shalo. We'll say, what happens if she finds the blood? Now, we'll say, the issue over here is that when he finds blood on his cloth, that blood couldn't have come from anywhere other than the bia. I was about to say, now again, if he has a wound or he has some kind of injury, that's something different. But assuming that's not the case, there's no other way to attribute the dam except from the bia. What happens if nimsal shala? So we'll say, if she finds the dam on her cloth, so remember again, there's a couple of possibilities. It could be that what? It could be that she experienced bleeding during the bia, but it could also be that what? That what? The blood came after the bia. So therefore, when it comes to her cloth, everything depends on when she checked herself. Nimsa al shala, if she goes ahead and she checks herself, so the Gemara says, es yom, so we'll say, es yom, Rashi says, is miyad la'achar bi'ila. If she checked herself immediately after relations, then what? Tmeyin v'chayav in karban. Then ultimately, again, he has tumas nida, she has tumas nida, and what? They're chayav karban. So we'll say, if she checks, and we'll discuss what immediately means, but if she checks immediately after bia, and she finds blood on her cloth, then halacha l'maisa, they're tamei and chayav karban. Nimtza al shalal la'achar zman, but if halacha l'maisa, again, she goes ahead and checks herself, or finds blood on her cloth, but she didn't check herself until sometime later, so we'll say, we'll see what later means also. La'achar zman, Rashi says, la'achar es yom. So we'll say, so apparently, what we have is like this. There is the shir of esyom. Esyom means immediately. And then after esyom, there's the shir of achar zman. So if she checks herself afterwards, after esyom, then what? Then what? Lachzan tzmein misafik. Ultimately, again, there's tuma misafik. Upeturin mina karban. So let's remember again, tmei misafik would mean what? That ultimately, again, which means like if she touched truma, we would say tolin. Right? We wouldn't destroy it, we wouldn't eat it, we would just kind of suspend it. Upturminakarban. But ultimately, again, there is no karban. Eizuhu acharizman. So I'll say, what does it mean? So what's acharizman? So I'll say, so in other words, what is non-immediate? What's after the elapsing of time? So the Gemara says, Kadesha terid minamita vitadiach paneha. So we'll say that would be the amount of time that it takes her to get off the bed and to clean herself. Tadiach panel is a euphemism ultimately again for cleaning herself. Now we'll say, now we'll see how to read this last statement. The acharkach, and afterwards, so we'll say after the shear. So we're going to have to see what acharkach means. Acharkach sounds like that ultimately again, if she waited longer than that shear. So we'll say the first shear is esyom immediately. The next shear is acharzman. And the shear after that is acharzman. So it sounds like if she waited to the third window, then what? Metame me'is la'is, veda metame zbo'ala. She'll become tame me'is la'is for a 24-hour retroactive period, but she does not convey any type of tumah to her husband. Rabbi Kiva omer af metame zbo'ala. Rabbi Kiva says, no, she conveys tumah to her husband as well. Modim chachamim Rabbi Akiva, beroa kesem, she metame zbo'ala. And the chachamim agree with Rabbi Akiva, that if a woman sees a kesem, if she sees a stain, she conveys tumah to her husband. So we'll say two things. So we understand from the Mishnah about the halacha vis-a-vis him, and we understand the halacha in the Mishnah vis-a-vis her when she discovers the stain, when she discovers the dam on the bedika cloth immediately. Once we get into the periods of time of acharzman and acharzman, we're going to need the Gemara to help clarify for us what exactly is happening, along with the case of the kasem. Good. So says the Gemara. So we'll say, let's analyze the first case. Case number one in the Mishnah was straightforward, which is what? So the couple has relations. After relations, husband checks and cleans himself with a bedika cloth, with the cloth, and he finds dam on his cloth. So what's the halacha, Rabbi, say? What does the Mishnah say? Tmein. We take that to mean automatic assumption that she bled during bia, and therefore it turns out that he had relations with Anida, and therefore halacha lemaisa, again, he is tamei, and ultimately, again, would have to bring a karban. Would have to bring a karban. So the Gemara says, "Venechosh dilma dam macholesu." Says the Gemara, "How do you know that it's blood of Anida? Maybe dam macholes." So we'll say Rashi says macholes is a kina, a louse. Ve'amai tmein vaday lisrof truma lischayi bekarban vaday lahavi suffik litlos truma lahavi asham taloi v'lo chatas the dilma dam macholesu shahaya ba'osam makam beisha ukishabal nidbak. We'll say so again, also remember, reflecting also different hygienic standards. But maybe lemaisa again, it's not damnida. Maybe it's the blood of a louse, right? That's where that blood is from. That's what it's from. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Zeira, osam makam baduku itzal ma'acholas. To which the Gemara says, osam makam, that part of a woman's body doesn't have lice. So the Gemara says, v'ike damri, dachoku itzal ma'acholas. So we'll say, others say that ultimately, again, that part of the body is narrow, and therefore, again, lice or louse doesn't go there. So the Gemara says, well, so the first opinion says, baduk, second opinion says, dachuk. V'ike damri, dachoku itzal ma'acholas. My benah, so we'll say ultimately again, what's the nafkamina between baduk and dachuk? Ika benayu dishtachach macholes ritzufa. We'll say, let's say on his cloth he finds a crushed louse. So we'll say, so what do you do with that? Lahach lishna damar baduku hame amaasi. So that's according to the opinion that says osamakum is baduk, that a woman doesn't find lice on that part of her body. So therefore, again, that louse must have come from somewhere else. Lahaich lishna damer dachoku emos shamash ritzba. I will say, but according to the opinion, it says dachok means that because it's a narrow part of the body, a louse wouldn't normally go there. Normally means normally, but it's still possible, and therefore, again, you could attribute that blood to the blood of the kina. Good. So we'll say, so itmar. We'll say, now we get into fascinating cases. Batka be'eda badukla. So let's listen to this case. Woman checks herself with an eda baduk. So we'll say, one of the halachos that we're going to see when it comes to bedikos is that a woman has to inspect the bedika cloth prior to doing the bedika to make sure that at the end of the day, it is clean. Because if it's not clean, if it's not previously inspected and she finds something on it, there is a possibility that what? That it was there beforehand. So listen to this case. Batka be'eda badukla. Let's say a woman checks herself with a checked cloth. So it's a clean cloth. What happens? So she checks herself. V'tachto b'yarecha. She then and the reason is irrelevant, but she then goes ahead and she ends up touching her thigh with the badika cloth. Ulamachar matza ale adam. And the next day, she finds blood on her thigh, the area that she touched with the badika cloth. Now I will say, so this case can take on one of two possibilities. Where's the badika cloth now? So remember again, so we'll say, I want to point out, the case of her, she did the badika, did not look at the badika cloth, went ahead and touched the badika cloth to her thigh. The next day, she finds blood on her thigh. So it could be either that the case is that there's also blood on the badika cloth, or it could also be that what? The badika cloth is gone. So Rabbi says, now here's the, what's the shayla? The shayla is, how do I interpret this case? Do I assume that the blood from the thigh came from what? Came from the badika cloth, in which case, again, she was blood on the badika cloth. She is Tamea, she's Anida. Or do I say that maybe the badika cloth was clean, there was blood on her thigh from something else, or scrite something else, and therefore, halacha l'maisa, she is tahora. So Amarav, so Gemara says, machlokes, Amarav tamei nida. Rav says, we assume that in this kind of case, she is definitely a nida. Rashi says, tamei nida, tuma vadoes techevan da'id badok la shalahaya badam, kode badika, vadai migufa asa ala eid umisham hutach b'yirecha, v'lorminam dilma me'alma asa al yirecha, v'safik tumos. So we'll say, so Rav says, halacha l'maisa, we assume that she's a nida. We don't assume that somehow there's blood on her thigh from something else. Rather, we assume that the blood on her thigh came from the blood of the Bedikakov. But Rebbe, once upon a time, you told us Choshesheshes. I will say Choshesheshes means she's a Nida Misafik. Here Rav is saying that she is a Nida Vadois. It, Marnami, so we'll say Rav doesn't respond to this because either Rav never said that or even if Rav said it, he changed his mind. It, Marnami, Amar Shmuel, Tamei Anida. Shmuel said that she is Tamei Anida. V'chein Morin Bein Midrasha Tamei Anida. And that is how they paskin in the base Medrash, Rav say, that halacha l'maisa, such a woman is considered to be Anida. So we do not attribute the blood on her thigh to anything else, but rather we attribute the blood on her thigh to what? To the blood that came from the bedika cloth. Itmar. We'll say another case like this. Another case. Itmar badka be'etchen a badukla. If a woman checks herself, and we'll say now in this case, she's checking herself with a bedika cloth. That is not pre-checked. It wasn't pre-checked. And therefore what? V'nichisa b'kofsa, thank you. And she then put the badika cloth in a box. She put it in a box. Ulamachar matza alav dam. And the next day she checked it, and she finds blood, right? She finds blood on the badika cloth. So Amar Rav Yosef, kol yomav shabichia timei. So we'll say all of the days. Now we'll say, so now understand, what's the suffix in this case? The suffix in this case is, she didn't pre-check the cloth. So does the badika, put it in a box, next day comes and looks at it. So we'll say, so now what does she find? There's dam on the badika cloth. What's the shayla? The shayla is that dam from the last badika, or was that dam even there before? So says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yosef, kol yomav shabichia timei. Throughout Rabbi Chiya's entire life, he always says such a cloth is tamei. But in his old age, he said that it was tar. So the Gemara says, let's analyze this. So what was exactly what he's saying? Hechi kamar kal yomav timei mishum nida uleizik nasa tir mishum nida utim mishum kesem was Rabbi Chiya saying that throughout in his earlier days he said she was tamei al tumas nida, but in his old age he relaxed things and he said it's only treated like a kesem. Kesem also means a stain. A kesem is always treated like a safek. O dilma kol yomav timei mishum kesem or the ziknaso tir mivelo klum. Or maybe he's saying it throughout his earlier days. He always said that such a badika cloth is treated like a stain, like a kesem. And therefore, both said, let's say, for example, by truma, we would say tolin. And in his old age, he said that it's totally tar. So let's analyze. Tashma. Visanya badka be'etchen a badikla. Bryce says, if a woman did a badika and she didn't pre-check the cloth, finichasa bekufsa, she then put it in a box. Ulamachar matzalav dam. The next day she checked it and there's blood on it. What's the halacha? Rabbi Omer tmei mishum nida. Rabbi says it's tmei mishum nida. Right? She's a nida vados. Rabbi Chia Omer tmei mishum kasem. Rabbi Chia says ultimately again she's tmei, but it's a kasem. Rabbi also, which is another way of saying what? Suffolk. Tell me al suffolk. I'm Rabbi Chia. So Rabbi Chia said, but 1 second. But you told us that the only time she becomes tamei is what? If there's the size of a gris. Then we'll say, we'll get into the halachos of ksamim, but in order for a stain to be problematic, it has to satisfy a number of criteria. One of the criteria is that it has to be larger than the size of a gris. Right? So we'll say a gris is the size of a lentil. For our purposes today, size of a penny. Size of a penny. So Rabbi says that's a shirin kesem. When it comes to re'iyah, Rabbi says it's very important to halacha. The only time even contemporary halachos nida, the only time that the shear of a gris makes a difference is when you're talking about a stain. When you're talking about something that comes out on a badika cloth, a stain of any size could be potentially problematic. So the Gemara says, so you say you needed a gris. Gris is a din in kesem, not a din in re'iyah. But old amarle aval amarlo imkein. Af ata asisa kesem, but Rabbi Savar, what's it sounds like? Sounds like a kesem. Rabbi Savar, kiyin ke gris va'od lafukim dam macholas. What's it? Rabbi held as follows: that you require the stain to be larger than the size of a gris. Why? In order that it shouldn't be the potential that it's an insect. So I said the concern is if it's smaller than a gris, that could be the blood of an insect. Larger than a gris, it's not the shear of an insect. So we'll say in this kind of case over here, because you have a certain level of suffix, remember again, she didn't check the medical cloth, she put it in the box. She's coming back the next day to look at it. There's blood on it. So Rebbe says, listen, it has to be larger than a gris, because if it's not larger than a gris, the concern is that it's from an insect. But once it is larger than a gris, the chivan de nafek le midam ma'acholes vadai migufa asa. Once it's larger than a gris, then I could be definitively certain that what? That it is from her body, and therefore is dam nida. My love, bizik nusokai. But we're not dealing over here, where Rabbi Chiya is talking about his, right, he's commenting in his old age. So we'll say, habi al duso, time mishum nida. So we'll say, so the fact that Rabbi Chiya is looking at this as a kesem in his old age indicates to us that in his younger years, he viewed this as vadai tumas nida, Shmamina. So we'll say, so it appears that ultimately, again, when he was younger, so ultimately Rabbi Chiya treated a case like this, like Vadai Tumas Nida, but as he got older, he relaxed his position a little bit and only treated it like Kasem. Good. But it's an interesting story. Mishtabach Le Rebbe, the Rabbi Yishma, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chama Barbisa, the Adam Gadol. So let's listen to this. So Rebbe was talking to Rabbi Yishma, Rabbi Yossi about Rabbi Chama Barbisa. And Rebbe told Rabbi Yishmael that Rabbi Chama Barbisa was a big Talmud Chacham. Good. Amar lo, so Rabbi Yishmael says to Rabbi, Kishi yavo liyadcha, haviu liyadi, bring him to me. Right, so Rabbi Yishmael says to Rabbi, listen, I want to meet this guy, Rabbi Chama Barbisa. When he comes away, bring him to me. Good. Kiasa, so we'll say, so then it turned out, so Rabbi Chama Barbisa comes to town. And what happens? And Rabbi brings Rabbi Chama to Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Shema meets the young Talmud Chacham, Amar Lei, Boy Minai Milsa. So Rabbi Shema, who's the elder statesman, says, Rabbi Chama Barbisa, nu, ask me a question. Ask me a question. So the Gemara say, asks him, Boy Minai, Badka Be'ed She'ina Badakla. If a woman checks herself with an unchecked, a non-pre-checked cloth, V'nichasa B'kufsa, and she then put the cloth in a box, Ulo Machar Matzala Avdam, and the next morning, she checks the box, she checks the bedikah cloth, and there's dam on it. Mahu, what is that halacha? Amar lo, Rabbi Shmuel says, Kedivrei Abba Imalacha, or Kedivrei Rebbe Imalacha. So what Rabbi Shmuel says back to Yechar Babisa, should I tell you the opinion of my father? Remember, who was Rabbi Shmuel's father? Rabbi Yossi. Should I tell you my father's opinion? Or Rebbe's opinion? So Amar lo, Kedivrei Rebbe. To which Rabbi Yechar Babisa said, tell me Rebbe's opinion. Rabbi Shmuel gets upset. Emali. I'm sorry, Kedivrei Rebbe Emali. I'm Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says, Zeru Shomer Alav Da'adav Gadlhu. This is who Rebbe calls a great Talmud Chacham. Heich Manichin Divrei Harav V'Shomer Divrei HaTalmud. I ask Yechar Rabisa, does he want to hear the opinion of Rabbi Yossi or the opinion of Rebbe? Now we'll say, Rabbi Yossi was Rebbe's Rebbe. Was Rebbe's Rebbe. So Rabbi Shmuel is disappointed. He said, if I give you the choice to hear the opinion of the Rebbe or hear the opinion of the Talmud, why would you choose the opinion of the Talmud over the opinion of the Rebbe? Obviously, it's not such an Adam Gadol. So we'll say, what was Rabbi Chaim Bar Abisa's logic? Rabbi Chaim Bar Abisa Savar, Rebbe Reish Misiftuhu. He felt like this. Rebbe was the Rosh Hashiva. And therefore, again, as a result, Ushchichi Rabbanan Kamei U'mechad Deishmai, they say, as the Rosh Hashiva, so both say, there were a lot of other Talmidei Chachamim who came to him with Shilas, and as a result, they were able to, so both say, the Yeshiva was the hub of activity. Because it's the hub of activity, he had interaction with a lot of great Talmidei Chachamim. So as a result, he just felt that Rebbe would have a much more honed in Shita than Rabbi Yossi. Okay, that's the end of that story. I don't know what happened afterwards. So Gemara says, my Rabbi Yossi. So we'll say, what are these two opinions? So remember again, Rabbi Shmuel points out that apparently there are two different opinions on this topic. What are the two different opinions? So Rabbi Ad Bar Masna, Tana, so we'll listen to this, Tana, Rebbe Mitame, Rabbi Yossi Mitar. So we'll say, in this particular case of, again, a woman checks herself with an aid, with a bedika cloth that she did not examine prior to the bedika. She puts it in the box. The next day she finds dam on it. So we'll say, here we have a machlokas. Rebbe says, she's a nida. She finds blood on it, she's a nida. Rabbi Yossi says, she's tahora. So the Gemara says, Am Rabbi Zera, kishatime Rebbe, Rabbi Meir. When Rebbe held that she's tame, he was aligning himself with Rabbi Meir, that we'll see in just a moment. Ukishetir Rabbi Yossi, when Rabbi Yossi said that she's tar, la'atzmotir. That was Rabbi Yossi's own independent shita. This sign, Rabbi Yossi, here we go. It's an interesting case. Ha'isha shahaisa oset tzrachef. Rabbi Yossi, if a woman was urinating, Sadam, and she sees blood while urinating. So we'll say, we're actually going to discuss this case because this is a Lemaisa case. Here, we're talking about a little bit of a different context. So Ramir says as follows, Im omedes temeya. If she's urinating standing up, then she is temeya. Now we'll say, now what's the logic there? Look at Rashi. Omedes temeya. Dechivan de dechukahi hadr me raglayim lemakar va'ayisi dam. So we'll say, we're going to see this sugya later on as well. But apparently, Rabbi Meir's issue is like this. Because a woman urinating standing up requires more exertion, there is a concern that uterine blood could be dislodged. Literally, the lashon is that the urine's going to go up and ultimately come back down. What it means is that because there's a greater level of exertion, there's a concern of uterine blood getting mixed in. Therefore, if she's urinating standing up, she's going to be tameo. Im yosheves, but if she is sitting and urinating and there's blood in the urine afterwards, tahora. Ultimately, again, we assume that she is tahora because we also assume that that blood is non-uterine blood. It's coming from somewhere else. Rabbi Yossi says, benkachu, benkach, tahora. Rabbi Yossi says, ultimately, again, either way, she's turned. I'm going to look at Rashi for just a moment. Yosheves tahora. V'imakom eraglaim huba, ve'in tamei eladam ha-makom. Midkan Rabbi Meir, omedes tamei, fa'afag avdika l'sapinugu, makom eraglaim. Kevan deraglaim l'davar, dedochik le alma, ve'chazak tadam in ha-makom. So we'll say, what do you see from here? Rabbi Meir could have also easily said the blood comes from somewhere else. But Rabbi Meir says that since there's a factor that points us in the direction of Dam Nida, i.e. that she's standing, therefore declare her Nida. Rebbe, who ultimately says that in the case of the Bedika cloth, that Allah Lamaisa, she checked herself with an unchecked cloth. She put it in a box, the next day she comes and she looks at it, and what does she find? That there's Dam on it. Even though, again, there's grounds to say that what? That Halacha Lamaisa, that blood is from elsewhere. Nevertheless, what? Rebbe says that she's Tamei. That's in accordance with the sheet of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir, again, Rabbi Yosef Lishitasa also says that what? That halacha lemaisa, in a case where there's a strong suffolk, that it could be that she's a nida, halacha lemaisa will treat her like a nida, like in the case of urinating standing up. Rabbi Yossi says, benkach u benkach Torah. Rabbi Yossi sheet, Rabbi Yosef, is in general, as long as you could go ahead and attribute the blood to something else, we attribute the blood to something else. That's why even Rabbi Yossi will say that halacha lemaisa, in the case where she checked with an unchecked aid, with an unchecked medika cloth, will attribute that blood to something else as well. Amli Rav Acha Bar Yehuda Rav Ashi, v'ha'am Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, Kishe Time Rabbi Meir Lo Time Ela Mishum Kasem. Vilu Rabbi Mishum Nida Kamar. But one second, I'll both say, even Rabbi Meir, when Rabbi Meir said that she's Tame, in the case of urinating, standing up, he only declared that blood to have the power of a Kesem, to have a power of a stain. So also remember again, a Kesem, again, and we'll discuss this, and we haven't discussed Ksamim, but a Kesem, Rabbi Meir said, only has the ability to be Metame something, Misafik. So, yet Rabbi is using the Shita of Rabbi Meir to declare her a definitive Nida. Amrale anan hachi kamar ki itmar ahimi shum nida itmar. So we'll say in our version, Rabbi Meir doesn't just declare her tame alts kesem, but Rabbi Meir declares her tame alts nida. So we'll say, so therefore again, it turns out that you have these dramatic cases of halacha lamaisa where you have a suffix. So we'll say ultimately again, so in both of these cases of suffix, the Shulchan Aruch paskins in these cases that ultimately suffix leads to nida. That whether halacha lamaisa, we'll say in case number one, where she checked with a pre-checked cloth, touched her thigh, didn't look at the badika cloth, but ultimately again only put it in the kuf, so looked at it the next day, or didn't look at it the next day, but found blood on her thigh, we assume that is dam nida. We assume that dam nida. And I'll say in the case ultimately again, where she checked with an unchecked badika cloth, and then went ahead and put it in a kufsa, finds blood on it on the next day, we also paskin ultimately again that she's a nida. We'll say the logic being in these cases that what? It's a safek daraisa. So we'll say any situation in a safek daraisa ultimately will what? Will be l'chumra. We'll say we'll see this is going to come up in circumstances, by the way, which happens where a woman does a badika, it was a questionable badika, and then what? It's lost. She loses the badika cloth. So we'll see again, depending in what stage she's in or what she's doing a badika for, we'll see the ramifications of the loss of that badika cloth. So just the two more lines that will stop. Vayter. Nimsa ashala es yom tmeim. So let's remember again, the Mishnah said, if she finds blood on her badika cloth immediately, then they're both tamei chayev karban. Tan rabbanan ezu shir beses. We'll say, what does it mean immediately? What does immediately mean? So what's like a comparable to a woman who's having relations, and the badika cloth was right by the window sill next to her bed. So I'll say ultimately again, so literally immediately means that as soon as the bia is over, as soon as the man withdraws, she does the badika. But I will say, the badika here is not a real badika. She doesn't need a badika. What does she require? Ultimately, kinuach. Kinuach means a wiping. So immediately literally means that as soon as the bia is over, she wipes herself. In that situation, again, that's the immediacy where if she finds blood on the badika cloth as a result of that immediate badika, they're both tamein and chayav and karban. Fine, we'll see one more. We'll stop with this. Nimsa al shalal la'achazan. We'll say, what happens if she finds on her badika cloth? Not immediately, but after the period of immediately. So what's the halacha? So we'll say, so again, our Mishnah ruled that what? Tamei and misafek upetrumin karban. So we'll say, they're tamei misafek and no karban. Says the Gemara, quotes a brisa, Tana, v'chayavin asham talui. But there's another brisa that says that they're chayavin asham talui, which I will say makes sense, because if you're tamei and misafek, then what? That's an asham talui, right? Why doesn't our Mishnah bring down Asham Talui? We'll say very quickly, my time, but we'll say a little bit of Chazara, but in Chaticha Mishtei Chatichos, because we'll say our Tana holds that what? Asham Talui only exists when? Let's remember again, what was the paradigmatic example of what? Of Asham Talui was what? Chelev and Shuman, right? You need two distinct things, two distinct entities, and you're not sure which one you're part of. In this case, there's no two distinct entities, and therefore, again, no Asham Talib. We'll stop over here. We'll pick up Yemir Hashem tomorrow.